KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have cloudy skies, 60 degrees. We look for scattered showers and thunderstorms today and a high of 70. Radar shows most of the shower activity is along and northwest of Highway 30. And there is some scattered light shower activity occurring along the I-80, 680 split in Pottawatomie County. And then across Montgomery County and down into Page County and parts of the southwest corner of the state. All that will be moving eastward. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. The Cass County Board of Supervisors Friday morning gave their blessing to Lewis Mayor John Mosier to proceed with the easement legalities and other steps necessary for an ingress-egress driveway through Cass County property for access to a new lagoon for the City of Lewis's water treatment plant. Mosier explained why the access road is needed.
The DNR is making us put in a third lagoon for the City of Lewis. The problem is with that, we've talked to the farmer to the north and about selling some land, and he really doesn't want to sell it. The engineer has what he has figured out for us. We got to stay so far away from G43 with this third lagoon.
He said the solution is an easement which will allow access into the lagoon system, which is also convenient for the yard pile or burn pits.
We'll maintain the road and everything else down there. It's nothing out of your guys'.
There'd be a gate and a gravel.
We'd gravel it from the top of the hill down to the gate where our property line is.
In other business, the supervisors Friday held off on approving a partial funding from the local option sales tax fund for a Cold Springs State Park roadway maintenance project after they learned Cass County conservation officials wanted a contract with Snyder Associates for an engineering study prior to resurfacing the campground road at Cold Springs State Park. The board felt those services could be performed by the Cass County engineer at a total cost savings of around $7,000. They implored Conservation Director Micah Lee to get together with Engineer Charles Bechtold and work out the details. The board approved a proclamation recognizing September as Voter Registration Month, and Tuesday, September 24th, is National Voter Registration Day in Cass County. They also discussed a long-range plan for courthouse heating and cooling systems, as well as a plan for the replacement of the courthouse windows. No action was taken as the board wanted to get more information from the architect and engineers, along with options and cost estimates. Elsewhere in state news, the Iowa Department of Corrections said today 44-year-old Eddie Lee Ward, who was convicted of robbery in a second degree in Wapello County, failed to report back to the Ottumwa residential facility as required last night. Ward is a black male, 6 feet 1 inches tall, weighing 239 pounds. He was admitted to the work release facility on June 10th. Anyone with information on his whereabouts should contact local police. A picture of Eddie Ward can be found in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. A fire on the roof of a prison in Fort Dodge appeared to have been under control late Friday afternoon. The Iowa Department of Corrections said the fire was reported around 2 p.m. at the Fort Dodge Correctional Facility. Officials believe the fire started on the roof portion of a prison housing unit where contractors were making repairs. Local fires officials said again the fire appeared to be under control late afternoon. The corrections departments and all prison staff, contractors, and inmates were accounted for. The Fort Dodge facility is a medium security prison designed to hold a maximum of 1,400 inmates overseen by a staff of about 260 people. A supervisor with Iowa's State Public Defender's Office has a part-time side job as a local police officer, creating a potential conflict of interest. Michael Adams is supervisor of the Special Defense Unit, which is appointed to defend low-income defendants in criminal complex cases statewide. But since 2008, he's also served as a part-time reserve police officer in the city of Colfax. Adams's unit is routinely appointed to defend clients in Jasper County, even as he occasionally patrols one of its cities as an officer. The potential conflict of interest has gone largely unnoticed, but it became an issue this month in a murder case involving a man who was investigated by Colfax police and is being represented by Adams's unit. Adams says he has no direct involvement on either side of the case. Still, multiple defense attorneys say they were stunned to learn of Adams's dual roles. The former head of the Iowa Department of Human Services has filed a complaint with the state seeking $2 million for wrongful discharge. Jerry Foxhoven said in documents filed Thursday with the state appeal board that Governor Kim Reynolds, her chief of staff and legal counsel, fired Foxhoven on June 17th as he questioned whether it was legal for the DHS to pay the salary of a governor's staffer who had moved away from the agency to the governor's office. Foxhoven, known for his frequent workplace praise of the late rapper Tupac Shakur, says his firing was done to prevent him from enforcing his legal right to disclose information he believed was illegal. Reynolds says Fox Over never raised such concerns and never asked the staff for a legal opinion. The Democratic National Committee will recommend scrapping state plans to offer virtual telephone-based caucuses in 2020 due to security concerns. The final choice on whether to allow virtual caucuses in Iowa and Nevada is up to the party's powerful Rules and Bylaws Committee. But opposition from the DNC's executive and staff leadership makes it highly unlikely the committee would keep the virtual caucuses, leaving two key early voting states just months to figure out the alternative. The state parties have planned to allow some voters to cast caucus votes over the telephone in February of 2020 instead of showing up at traditional caucus meetings. Iowa and Nevada created the virtual option to meet a DNC mandate that says open caucuses must be open more to people in states. A former nurse who admitted diverting pain medications from residents at two northeastern Iowa nursing homes has been sentenced to 15 months in federal prison. 36-year-old Lacey Stavely of Evansdale was sentenced Thursday in Cedar Rapids. Stavely pleaded guilty last year to one count of acquiring a controlled substance by misrepresentation, fraud, deception, or subterfuge, and another count of making false statements relating to health care matters. She was later charged with contempt after police say she stole pills from a relative after she'd pleaded guilty to the nursing home thefts. Prosecutors say she took hydrocodone intended for two chronic pain patients at Cedar Falls Healthcare in November of 2016, then faked medication logs to cover her tracks. Officials say she also took pain medication in 2018 from two patients at Harmony House in Waterloo and replaced them with antipsychotic and antidepressant drugs. The Des Moines Medical Center has announced that after three decades of operation, it will shut down its kidney and pancreas transplant operation. Mercy One Des Moines Medical Center announced in a news release Thursday that the closure will be effective October 1st. The program had been suspended earlier this year as hospital officials questioned the need for two transplant centers in Des Moines. Mercy One said it will work with the city's other transplant center at Iowa Methodist Medical Center to help those in need. The release said the closure affects four Mercy One employees. The Des Moines Register reports that Iowa Methodist Medical Center handles more than twice as many kidney operations per year as Mercy One's transplant team. And the last holiday of the weekend of summer, or rather last holiday of the summer, that is just ahead, and tens of thousands of Iowans will be spending at least a portion of it on the water. Susan Stocker, the boating law administrator and education coordinator for the Iowa DNR, says flooding has been widespread in parts of Iowa since March, and boaters need to be especially cautious for hidden hazards.
It is still a concern for high water because we've recently had some rains, and so our heavily saturated areas are going to be a lot more saturated, and so there is going to be some higher water this time of year.
Boat drivers need to keep an eye out for signs of anything that might be lurking just below the waterline.
People need to make sure that they're aware of, just because they can potentially see a portion of floating debris, there may be the chance that that is actually a 20-foot tree just below the surface. So definitely be aware of the debris that might be out there on the water.
The DNR reports 65 people have been charged with BWI or boating while intoxicated this year so far statewide. That's up from 54 BWI arrests at this time a year ago. Stocker says mixing alcohol and water can be a very deadly combination.
Nationally, there are 19% of the fatalities involve alcohol, and unfortunately our fatalities, it's always been 50% or higher. So make sure you have a sober driver.
Preparing for a safe day on the water begins in the driveway, she says, and make sure you have a properly fitting life jacket for each person on board your vessel.
Wear your life jacket because you never know when you're going to get into an accident and you won't be able to grab the life jacket before, you know, you find yourself out in the water.
Stocker says it's wise to file a float plan with a friend, including your destination, expected time of return, and type of boat. She also suggests taking a boater education course to learn valuable information. Plus, many insurance companies will offer a discount on boat insurance if you take that course. There are some 231,000 licensed boats in Iowa. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.